In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, there are six words in verse 5 that are graphic, life-changing words. He was pierced for our transgressions. The literal meaning of the word pierced in English is to puncture something with a sharp object. Some of the synonyms associated with that word are these: fierce, painful, penetrating, agonizing, excruciating, shattering. In stark contrast, the antonyms of that word are calm, kind, pleasant, soft. None of those antonyms apply to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but all of those synonyms do. The process of crucifixion has been documented for us by historians. And in more recent times, we have been given a physician's account of what happens to the human body during crucifixion. And when we put all those things together, we believe we know what happened to Jesus Christ. After being stripped of his clothes, he was flogged until he was bleeding, and then he was forced to carry the crossbeam of his crucifixion up a hill, and it weighed 110 pounds. Let that sink in. The spikes that were used in his hands and his feet were 7 inches long. I measured it. 7 inches. On the cross, his left foot was placed over his right foot, and his foot was extended down, and spikes were driven into both of his feet as well as his hands. And his knees were moderately flexed, and that was on purpose. And the reason was that as he was hanging there, he would gradually sink down, and more weight would be put on those spikes in his hands, and the nerve endings of his fingers and his arms would begin to scream at him. And so he would push himself back up with his feet so that he could relieve some of that pain in his arms. And as he pushed himself back up, the full weight of his body would be through the spikes of his feet. And that caused a searing pain to run through and between the bones of his feet, and then great waves of cramps came into his muscles and spasms, and his muscles knotted in relentless pain, and his strength began to fade, and it faded rapidly, and as a result, he could no longer push himself up with his feet. So he hung there by his arms, and eventually that meant that his arms became paralyzed. He could breathe in, but he couldn't breathe out. The only way he could breathe out was to push himself back up again. And carbon dioxide filled his bloodstream through his whole body. And when that happened, some of the searing pain began to go away, the cramps began to go away. So instinctively, he would again push himself back up because it felt better, and he was able to exhale one more time and get one more breath. He was merely prolonging his agony. And this is when he spoke those words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Several hours passed, And eventually he could feel his body dying, and so he took one last breath. And then they say he cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Sometimes a victim would linger on the cross for hours, even a day, or even more than a day. And the Roman soldiers were not allowed to go home until the victim was dead. And so there were two things that they would often do to hasten death. One of them was to build a fire at the base of the cross so that noxious fumes would come up. And the victim would suffocate from that smoke. Or, more often, as I believe you know, they would break the bones in the legs so that the victim could not push themselves up anymore and they couldn't breathe and they would die from asphyxiation. That's what the Roman soldiers did to the two criminals on either side of the cross of Jesus. They broke their legs, but they didn't think it was necessary to do that with Jesus, because when they looked at him, they could tell that he was already dead. But they had to be sure. And so they took the spear and they thrust it between the ribs and it went into the heart and it broke the sac of the heart and water came gushing out along with blood. And finally, they could go home. They wouldn't have to deal with him anymore. At least so they thought. All of that drama was prophesied in the Old Testament. And Isaiah answered the universal question of why? Why did this happen? And his answer was this: he was pierced for our transgressions. What does the word transgressions mean? It literally means an infringement of a violation of a law or a moral code. Isaiah did not say Jesus Christ was pierced because he violated the laws. He rightly said that Jesus Christ was pierced because we violated the laws. We broke God's moral code and his commandments. We transgress. Here's another term to consider. The term is transgressive behavior. What is that? That is any behavior that causes physical, mental, or emotional harm to another person. It doesn't matter whether it was intended or not intended. It caused harm. My guess is that each and every one of us in this room are guilty of having committed transgressive behavior in our past. We caused mental, emotional harm to our parents. For instance, did you ever lie to your mother? Did you ever steal pocket change from your father? I did both of those things. And it caused mental, emotional reaction from both of my parents. When you went to high school, did you ever transgress against your teacher? Well, for instance, did you become a friend of Clifton Hillegass? Who? Do you know who that was? He was the man who invented Cliff Notes. Did you ever cheat and not read the entire assignment because you read the Cliff Notes instead? Then you transgressed, and so did I. Did you ever transgress against God? In the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 6, we read this, and we visited this verse several times lately. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Mankind's transgressive behavior against God caused him to have mental, emotional reaction, and he sent the great flood. If he had not spared Noah and Noah's family, we would not be sitting here today. And let's face it, our transgressive behavior has not stopped. We keep doing it. Jesus Christ was pierced for our transgressions. That made me think of the Lord's Prayer. What? Perhaps you're wondering why. It's because of one word in the prayer. The Lord's Prayer does not say, "And forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who transgress against us." It says, "Forgive us our debts." Or does it say, "Forgive us our trespasses"? We've heard both. We've used both. Both of those words can be translated by our word sin. So forgive us our sins and forgive those who sin against us. Both of those are correct. However, there are 5 different Greek words for the word sin. All of them are bad, but they have slightly different meanings. The first one means missing the mark. In other words, we fail to do what we ought to do. Have you ever done that? And the second one means stepping across. We step over the line of right and wrong. Have you ever crossed the line? The third one means lawlessness. That's deliberately breaking the law. Many of us think that we're not guilty of deliberately breaking the law because we're good people, but most of us have definitely done that. I exceeded the speed limit deliberately this morning when I drove here. The fourth one means slipping across. We didn't mean to, but we were swept away by our passion, by our impulse. And that fourth word is the word that is translated trespass. To slip up. And finally, the fifth word is the word that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount. And it means debt. It is a failure to pay your debt. It is a failure both to our fellow man and to God to pay your debt. Some people prefer to pray, "Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." That's a way of saying, "Lord, forgive me when I slip up and help me to forgive somebody else if they slip up against me." The actual word that Jesus used in Matthew 6 is correctly translated debt. And later, debtors. Let me read you something that was written by R.C. Sproul. Do you know who R.C. Sproul was? R.C. Sproul was one of the greatest Christian teachers of the 20th century. He was a great theologian as well, a wonderful communicator. Now, I'll take a moment to tell you, if I haven't told you this already sometime, he and I were personal friends. R.C. and I served on the same church staff when we were in our 20s. R.C. and Elizabeth and Vesta and I became the best of friends. And in fact, R.C. is the one who turned Elizabeth on to the Word of God. She got all excited about the Word through RC's teaching, and I'm forever indebted to RC for doing that. That's enough of that. Here's what he wrote about what I'm talking about. He said, if someone claimed that I owed him $10,000 and threatened me with jail unless I could come up with the money, I think I could find a way to raise the money and keep myself out of jail. But if someone claimed that I owed him $4 billion, there's no way I could pay him that. And then he said, that's a poor analogy, because our obligation to God is far greater than that. He has commanded us to be holy. He has commanded us to be perfect, even as He is holy and He is perfect. So we have fallen short of His standard that is virtually impossible for us to pay our debt. We hear it said that everyone is entitled to one mistake, but the only thing we are entitled to is everlasting punishment in hell. God never said that we are entitled to one mistake. And even if we were, how long ago did we make it? We have sinned against God and His perfect holiness multiple times since we got out of bed this morning. Wow. In my view, Jesus Christ was pierced for more than my transgressions. He was pierced for all of my debts. All. That's remarkable. Even more, He paid that debt in full for you and for me. How can I say thanks for all the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved that you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Isaiah 53, verse 5, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. Absolutely remarkable. These prophetic words of Isaiah were written almost 800 years before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That just reveals God's majestic, long-range plan for us. And there were more prophecies. For instance, this is Zechariah 12, verse 10. And this one was written about 500 years before the crucifixion of Christ. It says, they will look on me, the one they have pierced. And they will mourn for me as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for me as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be great. But these words, written 1,000 years before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, are from the pen of David. This is Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah! Absolutely remarkable. How can we, brothers and sisters, how can we not be pierced ourselves when we consider for a moment the enormous gift that God gave to us through the cross of Jesus Christ, our Savior? Even Mary felt the piercing when Joseph and Mary brought the baby to be dedicated in the temples. Simeon turned to her, and he prophesied in Luke 2, and he said to her, "A sword will pierce your soul too." No one was immune. No one is immune. This is Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 12, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing," there it is, "piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Here's one more prophecy. I have always read this one particular way, and today I see it in a new light. This is Revelation 1, verse 7. "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him." I always thought of the Jews and Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers. And now I realize that it means more than that. I only read the first half of the verse. Here's the second half of the verse. "And all the people of the earth will mourn because of him." So shall it be. I pierced him. Brothers and sisters, you and I drove the spikes in his hands. You and I drove the spikes in his feet, and we thrust the sword in his side. We did not just miss the mark. We did not just step across the line. We did not deliberately break the law. We did not just trespass. We pierced God's heart with so much grief and pain that there is no way for us to repay him. Our debt is too great. That is why he paid all our debts. And here's the bottom line, the remarkable truth. Jesus paid it all. All. When you truly confess to him, which I hope you did during that time of prayer. You know, I remember being in a worship service many years ago where there was a silent prayer of confession of sin. And it went on and on and on. That's why I kind of deliberately extended the time this morning. And I remember the pastor getting up and saying, "Well, you know, I confess my sins." And the guy that was leading worship didn't move on. I thought, well, maybe I need to think a little bit harder. I thought a little bit, oh, I forgot something. And I confessed that one. I thought, okay, now it's time to move on. And we didn't. And I had to keep digging. And the deeper I dug into my heart, the more sin I realized that I had not confessed. And he said, "Wow, and I don't think I even began." When you truly confess your sins to God, you are forgiven for anything that you've done or anything that you failed to do that God wanted you to do. You are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. That news is like coming out of a dark cave and suddenly you see the sunlight and it blinds your eyes and you say, wow, the light is piercing the darkness. Hallelujah. You see what I did there? I love that. The light is piercing the darkness. Praise his name. Just as you can never repay the debt that you owe to Jesus Christ, you can never thank him enough. Never, ever thank him enough. Today we have entered the first Sunday of Lent. And for the next several weeks, we are going to dwell on that very vivid word, pierced. We're going to explore both the pain and the healing of piercing. And we're going to prepare ourselves once again to celebrate the most marvelous piercing in history, the piercing of death itself by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I hope, I pray that you have entered into all of us a new awareness of our sinfulness and of your grace, of our darkness and in your light. And we thank you, God, for hearing us now as we offer you this testimony in this powerful song. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.